hands?
That's like a baby's toy.
I'm totally Batman.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Secondary Heroes Podcast. It's October, and that means it's Halloween. It's spooky season, and we're going to talk about our favorite TV Halloween specials and maybe some other Halloween stuff. Who knows? This is your host, Trevor, and joining me as usual is...
Hey, guys, it's Prague.
And this is Alexander Wolfgang. What's up, fellas? It's spooky season.
It's about time. Happy Halloween.
Seriously, man, I love this time of year. Finally getting cool outside. The leaves are falling. I was just in Salem. Ooh, spooky.
That's right, you were. That was fun.
Yeah, dude. And I was there just before October 1st. So, yeah, it was right before they were about to have some gigantic festival, which...
Yep.
It turns out the locals like hate it. Anyways, well, I'm sure
you don't say.
Yeah, for real. It's like the people who live in Daytona Beach during Daytona right. 500 or whatever, or Bike Week. But yeah, man, it's spooky season, and I am excited because I am now in a new room to record.
Yeah,
finally,
it's a new house.
New house. Finally, we are able to get together. It's been a long time, and I'm really glad that we were able to work this out. I mean, it's almost 9 o'clock right now, and I'm like still looking at my baby monitor going, golly, my kid still hasn't fallen asleep yet. But we're going to figure this thing out.
Baby monitors are perfect for paranormal activity.
Are they now? Do tell.
Keep an eye on that. You might hear some EVPs on the monitor.
I sure as hell hope not.
Other voices?
That would be creepy as ever. When my kid was like baby, and she just lay in the crib and have her eyes open, for some reason at night, the eyes, the white part would turn black and the dark part would turn white, and it's the creepiest thing. And if she like stood up in bed and like came right up to the camera and looked at it, yeah, talk about some nightmare fuel.
That's awesome. I like that.
It wasn't. Oh, you only got a parse piece of that. I noticed that my internet started kicking out.
No, we heard you the whole time, though. So you're good.
Oh, great.
The whole story.
Okay, cool. Good.
Yes. So is the new house haunted at all, Alex?
You know, okay, so that's one of the things that I always worry about when I move into a new house. I'm like, okay, what if
it wasn't haunted? That'd be so boring. So I feel you.
No, I really don't need it to be haunted. I really want to just love this house. And so far, I do. This is an amazing house.
Nice.
Now, I do have some haunted stories of other houses, but not this one. So
not
thank
this.
Goodness.
All right.
Yeah.
So far, so good.
It's cool when you have those inspections and they tell you that this used to be a former burial ground or cemetery or something. And they had to rezone it.
Yeah.
They move the headstones, but not the bodies.
Exactly. Poltergeist.
I feel like I make that reference a lot.
Mm-hmm. It's a good one.
It is a good reference.
Craig T. Nelson, gotta love him. <Good stuff. laughs>
But yeah, man. So, and that's the cool thing. Okay, maybe it's not the cool thing, but so back in the day, back in like maybe early 70s, before they built all these houses, this hill that I'm on actually used to be a cemetery. And at the top,
cool.
Yeah, at the top of the hill. So here, dude, this is some funny stuff. At the top of the hill was a church, and throughout the hill was the cemetery. One of my neighbors right down the street, he was putting down some new dirt in the backyard so he could sod it and everything like that. So we had to dig it up a little bit. Uh-huh. No joke. Yeah. He's got himself a headstone. He pulled it out of the ground, and it was a giant headstone. Dude's name on it and everything.
Just the headstone.
Just the headstone. Yeah, he didn't dig all the way down.
All right. No bones about it.
Now, he did say that they do have some spooky stuff happen at their house. So I can believe it. I can absolutely believe it, because his house would be pretty much right in the center of where it was a cemetery.
Dude, that'd be great for him to set up the haunted house, because he already has that history. He can build that into the lore of the haunted house. That'd be fantastic.
And then use the actual headstone.
Why not?
I don't know if they... I'm not sure if they're going to be doing much for Halloween this year, but...
Hey, did you see what the dates were for that headstone? Because I know you went to Salem and you had some like really old ones.
Okay, so this is bizarre, man. I don't know if you guys have ever been to Salem. Salem?
I
Salem
have. Before. When I was a kid, I was like 12, I think, when I went. So vague memory.
They have headstones from the 1600s there. Like, that's older than like our country. Our country's not even that old. And like, here they have these headstones that say 1686. I'm like, that's almost 100 years before we became independent. It blew my mind how old this place was. Yeah. And it turns out that Salem, there's a lot more to that town than just like the witch trials and everything. I feel like that's all I knew Salem was the witch trials. But it turns out Salem's got a huge history. It at one point it was like the richest of the rich lived in Salem. Like that was where people live to be rich or whatever.
There's some great houses there. Like the House of Seven Gables is there. There's a lot of really nice old fancy houses.
Fancy. Yeah. But beautiful town too.
What's interesting about witches, I was just reading an interview with someone and they said that the idea of witches started out because they were actually like people considered themselves kind of like midwife. They were also witches. Mm-hmm. And the idea of eating kids is that women would go in pregnant and then they would lose the child. And so they'd come out without a child. So they would figure that the midwife ate the child. And that's how a lot of stories from that.
For the only reasonable explanation. Right? Surely the midwife ate the baby.
Okay, that's pretty bonkers.
That is bonkers.
Yeah, no, I think the lady... Know. So, from Hocus Pocus, there's the two famous people and then the one who I do not know in anything else, and she gave the interview.
Okay.
So, this is so bizarre that you're talking about her in an interview, because I was just over... So, my wife is having a girl's night tonight, and...
Woo-hoo!
Woo! Yeah, they hopped in the hot tub and everything. But I overheard one of their conversations about Hocus Pocus. Yeah. They were talking about Hocus Pocus, and they were talking about that same woman, and that she did an interview back in '93 when that movie
came out. Oh, it's super trendy now because she's like super. I don't want to use the term woke, but it's very, very modern times for her response in 1993.
Yes. Okay. So we're talking about the same interview.
Because
then.
She didn't want to offend people who were actual witches by portraying a witch in a very goofy or any kind of derogatory fashion. Because she's like, there's actual people out there who are witches and it's not just some like kooky stuff. And she didn't want to offend those people.
Interesting.
Oh, no. It's definitely kooky stuff. And
Oh, what? Alex.
It is some kooky stuff, man. You can't tell me it's not.
Whatever. I'll turn off my cauldron. I'll be right back.
Wait, what?
Just kidding. Anyway.
All this stuff. I mean, we're here to talk about some, well, I guess, Halloween-y stuff. And witches are a big part of Halloween.
Yeah,
and
we've talked about Halloween movies. We've had special editions, you know, joining Horror Fest and focused on all kinds of Halloween stuff. But I don't think we've ever talked about our favorite specials of Halloween TV, because it seems like if you're a TV sitcom, you have to have one season, maybe every season, you have that Halloween episode. It comes out in October time. The broadcast networks love it. They can advertise it all month long. And so what shows do we really have memorable ones? Because it's one thing to, oh, we have to do one. It's another where the actual writers and creative people behind this show are like, let's really get into this.
Well said, well said. And we grew up in that era, I would say, 80s, 90s, full of that. They don't have that anymore. We don't really have TV like that anymore anyways. Yeah. So.
I wouldn't say to the same scale, but they definitely do have Halloween episodes.
Of course.
I mean, but to the scale, like we're almost like it's almost a departure from the show.
Or sometimes that's it's woven into the narrative, which is kind of fun. But yeah, yeah, usually it's a whole different kind of feel, look. I mean, for me, I grew up with TGIF every Friday. So, of course, when it was Halloween. No, I'm not going to say a specific one. Okay. But, like, every year you would have, like, this is the Halloween night. And I remember one year in particular, they gave out 3D glasses at 7-Eleven. And you got to watch the Halloween 3D episodes, which were fun. Now, I don't remember the context of the episodes at all. I just remember, but I do remember getting the glasses and wearing them and watching those episodes. So it was a lot of fun.
That's awesome.
Yeah, I think it was probably like 1990-ish, like maybe 89-90 around that time. That's one incredible. Happened. But
I definitely miss that stuff, man. I miss yeah. Like it felt like it was more of an event. Like, mm-hmm. It was an event back then to watch your Halloween episodes. Now it doesn't feel like it as much. But, like, yeah, it was, like, I don't know. There was something so cool about it.
Of course.
Like, you looked forward to it. You looked forward to certain episodes. Like, for instance, if you ever watched any sitcom show from ABC, there was always the episode where they got to go to Disney World.
Oh yeah,
and you
yeah.
like Full House always went to Disney World. Roseanne went to Disney World, and those to me were so fun. Getting to see these characters running around Disney World. I mean,
yeah, they weren't on a set; they're actually on location, which they never get to do.
Exactly. So it was like it was a departure from seeing the same exact set over and over and over again for 180 episodes. Now you're going out and seeing this stuff. Seeing places that you get to go to for real. Like, I can go to Disney World and I can see these places that they're, or the rides and whatnot. Like, that was exciting for me. And yeah, it gave me the same kind of feels with these Halloween episodes, or even a Christmas episode. Christmas episodes are kind of the same thing, where it's still kind of a departure from it all.
Different times, man.
We can definitely talk about Christmas episodes in December.
True.
It was just hint at a future episode.
Yes.
Nice. Nicely done.
So who wants to start?
Right. I think Alex does because he was itching.
I'm itching because for some reason there are mosquitoes in my office.
Oh, you're actually itching. I see.
It's driving me nuts, dude. Okay, anyways. So the one that sticks out in my mind the most, and I feel like I've got a bunch of different episodes that I absolutely love, but the one that sticks out to me the most, and I'm sure you both have seen it, and right now I'm on a huge kick on this show right now, Boy Meets World.
This is, yeah, okay. Nice.
I'm on a massive Boy Meets World kick. And no joke, the Halloween episode is so iconic in that, because you've got the Jennifer Love Hewitt as a special guest star, and you're killing... You're killing, like, this is a Disney show and you're murdering people like in a Scream movie where, like, they get a pencil through the head and as they slide down the wall, it leaves a pencil trail down the wall. Like,
good stuff.
I remember watching it as a kid and thinking, wow, they're really going for it in this.
That's what makes it memorable.
Going for it. It's probably one of the most, I would say, watched episodes of Boy Meets World, just because it wasn't like the silly, goofy, you know, kids doing kids stuff. It was finally something different. You've got your favorite characters doing something different.
Yeah. I think that's what makes
it stand
apart.
Do you guys remember anything of this episode?
Correct me if I'm wrong, because it has been a while since I've seen that episode. Was this the one where Topanga was like the Bride of Frankenstein? Or is that a different season from the show?
No, I don't think they do any dress up at all in this episode. Okay. It was almost like they did a, I Know What You Did Last Summer, or like a Scream, and what they did, and that's why they had Jennifer Love Hewitt on.
Sure.
And what they did was they were like locked in the school and there was a killer on the loose. And then
the one thing about I noticed that, like, I sometimes won't remember an episode until I see it. And then it all comes back to me all at once. Like, I'll see an image and be like, oh yeah, that one. Yes. That's why when I, for some reason, I'm picturing the Halloween episode, and I'm pretty sure it was Topanga as the Bride of Frankenstein, and I'm pretty sure Corey was Frankenstein, possibly. I don't know. I'll have to look that up later, but that's what I envisioned when you said the Halloween episode of Boy Meets World. So.
Okay. Yeah, no, this is... Yeah, this is different. This was in the, like, much later season. This might have even been one of the last seasons when it
okay,
was
Okay, so this
on.
Would have been, like, college years, most likely.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, okay. So it says, yeah, so the fifth season. So not quite college. I think
not
this
quite.
Might have been,
okay.
like, their season year or senior year. But
okay.
it's just I have these the imagery. Alone, like I said, of the pencil going through the guy's head and then it scraping up the wall. And then it turns out it's the best friend the whole time. And I don't know. It's just very fun.
Now, what was Jennifer Love Hewitt's thing? Like, was she like the person that came to school as like a special student?
Yeah, she was like a new student for the for the episode.
Yeah, I think I do remember. Maybe.
And she was like hot off of I Know What You Did Last Summer. So they were definitely... Right. trying to use her as like the scream queen.
Sure. And to promote the film probably. Yeah, of course.
Most likely.
Gotta tie it in.
Exactly.
Nice. That's funny.
Which was a fun I mean, all those movies though, they all kind of it feels like it's all the same thing anyways. So this was kind of like not another scary movie. Kind of like fun. It was almost like they were making fun of those type of movies just in their own little silly way.
Nice. I'll have to go rewatch that. That sounds fun.
I do too. Yeah. I need to rewatch that episode too.
It's funny because I asked Michelle that idea for this episode and she literally said the Boys Meet World episode of Halloween. So
there you go.
It's a popular pick.
It's the best, man. And if you're listening to Pod Meets World, they bring it up pretty often because I guess every time that they go to cons or anything like that, that's the main question that they get asked is what's your favorite episode or is this your favorite episode and stuff like that. So, yeah, it's pretty funny how much that episode comes up. And it yeah,
nice.
I keep hearing about it all the time. So,
yeah, Halloween episodes are always favorites among fans, no matter what, you know, TV show it is. A lot of times that happens to be the case with those older shows. So.
Oh, for sure.
Makes
well,
sense.
And our it's all about the nostalgia factor too.
Oh, nostalgia makes big money.
Oh man, and it's hot right now, baby. It is so hot.
It is. All right. Well, Trevor, do you have one?
Yeah. So mine would be. It was tough. I wanted to be like, oh, maybe I've talked about this, or I have not talked about this, and so that what gave this the benefit of the doubt is I don't think I mentioned this show. And they got new relevance because they're finally making a movie. And that show is Community. So season 2, episode 6 is their most well-known Halloween episode because they do it a few different times. Because Dan Harmon loves Halloween and he loved the sitcoms that did Halloween episodes. So it's kind of an homage to that idea. And in this one, the whole cast kind of, there's a zombie kind of takeover of the school. And so the main 6 characters aren't infected, or the main 5 characters aren't infected. And
so they're your players. Okay.
Yeah. It's the main kind of thing where each one does something stupid to get infected. Mm-hmm. They fall into like their most totally, they get locked in the library, like their little study room. And so, for example, the idea is they need to keep everybody quarantined outside of the study room. And all they need to do is get to the thermostat to turn down the temperature because it's actually just radioactive taco meat that somebody ingested and they started biting each other. But
that makes sense. Yep.
This the Jeff is literally goes like Joel McHale's character is like, well, I don't want to go through the window because I'll mess up my suit. So he opens the door and he lets all the zombies in. Just stupid stuff like that. Like they do the stupidest things over and over again, but it's more just the like when they first are coming across the zombie attack. They're like, okay, we need to keep this completely. We don't want to panic. We can't let this get out that it's actually a zombie attack. You know, it's just some food poisoning. It's okay. And then Troy and Ahmed come up and Troy's like, oh my God, Leonard's a zombie. And then Ahmed's like, zombie attack. And just it all goes crazy from there. It's just
oh, no,
it's funny stuff.
Sorry. Oh, that's great. I never got around to watching Community, and I've heard nothing but like great things about it. I think it's kind of when I stopped watching like network television.
Yeah. Stay with me.
I might have to binge it.
Like if Community would have came out a couple years later, it would have hit the perfect time. Because now it's on Netflix. People like it. Just it was that tough thing where NBC just not enough people watched it live. Because Joel McHale talked about we would go to like, you know, signings or cons, and all these people are like, "Oh, I love your show! I love your show!" And he's like, "Do you guys watch it live?" And they're like, "No." He's like, "I didn't talk to one person who ever watched it live."
I tried.
Standards, it on. Man.
Standards change. Because again, if this show was released now, people would love to watch all 10 episodes at once. Done. That's how shows are released now.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. I tried turning it on. I tried to jump into it, but I feel like the first season was really tough to get into.
It depends. Like, I think it came out when I went to community college for like a summer, and it just nails the vibe so well. It's just hilarious.
Okay. So if I put myself in the mind frame of, okay, I am going to community college.
Because that's season one. By season two, it's Dan Harmon goes and makes fun of every single movie and TV show he can think of. Like, they have an episode that's just dedicated to making fun of Law and Order.
Okay.
Just any kind of stuff that he can think of, they make fun of. But it takes a while. And then, of course, they ruin the show in season four. Because that's the season where they kick Dan Harmon out. And he was building up a big dramatic reveal for Jeff's actual father. And they just brought some other writer in who does it two episodes in and is just like a celebrity guest appearance. And that's that.
Boo. I remember hearing about that, though.
Yeah.
Oops. That's the thing is like that show is talked about so much.
Yeah.
Like
it's because people love reverential stuff and it's highly reverential. And it's also a product of its time. Like it was in that same time where The Office was on and 30 Rock and Parks and Rec and all that kind of stuff. And
yeah,
people just
Parks
love
and Rec
all these shows.
The one I was confusing it with a lot back in the day. I was like, wait, which show is which again?
Similar
who's on
vibe.
Show?
Similar vibe to Parks and Rec for sure.
Okay. Well, definitely check that out for sure. So I like Dan Harmon. So
yeah,
I think more people like him after Rick and Morty too.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, sure. Yeah.
Good pick. Nice. So the first one I was going to pick is the one that kind of comes to mind anytime ever anyone asks or talks about Halloween is Garfield's special. I think it was just called like Garfield's Halloween Special. I think it was.
Oh my god, you're kidding!
Unique, but it was from like 1985, and like it was my favorite Halloween TV episode as a kid. I loved it. I think I even had like a picture book of it and everything. And I went back to rewatch it today to kind of remind myself, and like I remembered everything from it, like the way he talks about things and wanting candy, and how he teaches Odie how to go trick or treating. You just stick your bag up and say give me, like that's how you trick or treat. And it was really cute. It was fun. It was real quick. It's only like 20 minutes long. But I think I remember being scared of it as well, because there's like these like pirate ghosts in it that I thought was fascinating. And very nostalgic. And I think when I think of Halloween specials, that's the first one that kind of jumps to my mind, is that I'm a big fan of Odie as well. So
Odie's great.
Yeah. Candy.
And that's something that I feel like I can't like comment on because I don't think I've ever seen it. But what it does,
I'm
like,
old.
Whenever
I know, it's okay.
Whenever you bring that up, though, it reminds me of The Great Pumpkin, Charlie Brown.
Sure, that's another great one.
Like that, I feel like that's in the same vein. Like, if you're gonna watch The Great Pumpkin, you're probably gonna watch the Garfield one.
Maybe. I don't know.
Maybe. No,
I don't know how
really
popular the Garfield one was. I think Charlie Brown was far more popular at the time.
Well,
85 would be my guess. I don't know. Who knows?
I don't know.
I enjoyed it. Like I know they repeated it every year. So every year for like years, you know, it would come on and I would watch it and I would enjoy it. May have had a VHS of it at some point, possibly. Not too sure. Because I remember, but as soon as I watched it again, I'm like, wow, I remember all these stupid songs and they're really dumb. It's really dumb. The special, but
a lot of those were the ones that were made for like little kids were definitely dumb.
And there are like usually things that the networks throw together real quick and cheap. It's like, hey, this is easy money. It's Halloween, you know, pay a voice actor $5 for the day and get him out of here and you're ever done. So
yeah, that's true.
I enjoyed it as a kid. So that was my first one that came up. But I think the one that we all talk about, because I know that we've talked about this before. I know it probably off air quite a few times, but we talk about the Roseanne episodes a lot. Because those are the ones that were always kind of really over the top and
outlandish.
Outlandish.
All in and outlandish. And like, I still to this day, I still have visions of one of their Halloween episodes. It's so weird that like, I don't remember. The only thing I can really truly remember from any Roseanne episodes is the opening and then the Halloween episode. Like, that's it.
If I had to pinpoint episodes, like, it would probably be the Halloween episodes and maybe a couple of others. Like, that was it. Like, when Dan had the heart attack and maybe a couple others. I don't know.
Yeah.
That's it. So, yeah, but the Halloween episodes were really the standout. So were kind of fun, you know? I think like, they had the episode where – was it – someone was under the table as the head, and they lifted up the dish and it was the severed head underneath. That was like the great gag of that episode.
See, that's so fun. And I think I want to say that they also reused that.
Oh, I'm sure they did.
That gimmick. Well, they used that gimmick later on in that episode where it looked like the sisters were fighting and one of the sisters was sitting there like choking the other sister out. And this is the vision that I have. Like I can vividly remember this where she's on the couch and she's strangling her other sister and then Roseanne comes down and says, "What's going on?" And she rips the head off.
Okay.
And it's a dummy head and no joke, like I'll never forget. I was like, it blew my mind because I was like, how did they do that? For some reason, I mean, I was
gory,
maybe
right?
like 5 or 6 years old and I was like, how did they do that? And then they show the sister pull a pillow from over her head and go, we got you. And
I do remember this.
For some reason, it's like that is stuck in my, it's been 30 plus years and I still remember that vividly.
Yeah. You pull off a good like gore prank like that on TV and you see it as a kid, like, yeah, that leaves an impression for sure.
Oh yeah.
Like that's why I remember the severed head under the serving dish. I thought that was always fun because it scared everybody at the time.
Well,
I don't think I've ever seen that prank pulled before that episode.
Yeah, I believe it. Well, but and that prank's been pulled in later shows like Modern Family. They did the same thing. They where they host like a haunted house and they have one of the uncles underneath the table and they type of thing. Nice. Yeah.
How's it go again? Do it again. Nice. Okay.
Spooper.
Well, nice. All right. What else you guys get? Because I got some other ones that I think are kind of fun.
I think there's one that we just have to mention. I'm sure people listening know. And maybe be like, how do you not talk about The Simpsons? Because
I was just about to go there.
There's been more Halloween Simpsons episodes than any TV show. I think they're up to like 30-something Treehouse of Terror. But for me, the ultimate highlight is Treehouse of Horror 5 because it's the Shining one. And honestly, I've never seen The Shining before I saw The Simpsons. Like, I've seen The Shining since, but I've never seen it beforehand. And once you watch the movie, it somehow digests the entire film that's like 2.5 hours into 5 minutes. And they hit every single note with comedy, but also dictating what happens through the storyline. It's amazing writing.
Yeah. And they make it feel like The Simpsons, too, which is pretty unique. Like beer, no TV, make homework or something, something. It's fantastic. One of my favorite moments in television history is that moment.
Yeah.
And I too, I think I'm pretty sure I would have seen that episode before I had watched the movie. I had to have. Like, it had to have been, like, maybe within
I'm, like, watching the movie, and it's, like, there's the movie sequence where the blood comes off the elevator, and it's such a big deal in the actual film. It's, like, all the way it's shot, how you go and hear Stanley Kubrick talk about how tough it was to actually film that. And then Mr. Burns just passively says, oh, the blood usually gets off on the second floor.
Just casually. Yeah. Yeah, those good times. I loved all of those. Like, the Nevermore was always great to see. I think I even had like a poster on my wall of Bart Simpson as the Raven. That was fun, a fun gimmick.
Because like 5 also has the one where Homer goes through time. He messes with the toaster and then he goes through
the
time.
The butterfly effect one.
Yeah. It's such a good one.
Fantastic.
So okay,
and it tells you the idea of the butterfly effect perfectly. Yeah. What's great about the Simpsons?
Is that the one where he goes into... Oh, I caught a mosquito. Look at that.
That's definitely going to mess up the timeline.
That's what I call podcasting.
Screw that thing, man. That is murder at its finest. Is that the one where he comes into real life? Like, he's a CG character?
That's the Tron episode that's the following season where... Okay. He goes into a portal in the house, and then he's like, anybody seen that movie Tron? And everyone's like, no.
That's literally that's the cool one only too, one I can really think of. And I remember as a kid, I always looked
just
forward to it.
Just the Poltergeist one, too.
But I was that's always scared of them, too. I was scared of these Simpsons ones because they were creepy. I mean,
they do the Nightmare on Elm Street one, where they try to, like, Willie goes and kills the kids in their dreams, and he does it pretty great.
And I'm sure, Alex, you've seen him as Freddy in memes and stuff.
And maybe
he's always,
I have. But... Oh, yeah. As memes,
Must have.
I have.
Must have.
But I can't think of, like, that. See, that's the thing. So whenever you watch them, there's like, what, 3 or 4 different stories? And I don't know why. I remember watching them as a kid year after year, but the only one I can remember was the CG one where he's in real life. And I feel like the only reason why I remember that is because I was like, wow. How did they do this? Mm-hmm. Again, how did they do this? Because it was the first time I ever saw a CG character, I feel.
Yeah, they collapsed the whole 3D universe, but there's that thing where he comes out of nowhere and he has that Homer scream where it starts really low, like, and he smashes into the trash can. And then he's like, oh my god, I'm so pudgy. Yes. And then he walks, he's like, ooh, erotic cakes. And that's the place that he goes into and the episode ends.
I'll never forget that. Because I thought, okay, being a dumb little kid... I thought, oh my goodness, we can bring cartoons into our world.
Aw. Really adorable. That's okay. I used to think that someone was going to turn me into an M&M once. For reals. So.
Oh.
We all have
it just depends on that timeline. If you mess with, you go back in the past. Because Homer's pictures his dad. And he's like, I'll never forget what my dad told me on my wedding day. If you go back in time, don't touch anything because the smallest change could have big ramifications. And he goes, he's like, God, I don't want to do anything. And then he sneezes on like a dinosaur and they all collapse and die. And then there's one where he comes back and he's like, don't touch anything. And he gets a baseball bat and he just starts destroying everything that he possibly can. Just the string together of Kang and Kodo showing up just for Halloween episodes in some capacity is outstanding. But there's also one where Bart thinks he's gonna die. Like, he's like, oh, I'm sure somebody will come and save the Simpson children, and they actually die at the end of that like Minnie's episode. And then he wakes up and Marge is like, oh honey, you're safe in your bed, the only thing you have to worry about is that gas that turns you inside out. And then they all go, he's like, the gas comes through the window, and Homer's like, damn, cheap weather stripping, and they all turn inside out. And then they sing chorus line as Inside Out people.
That's fantastic.
What?
Chorus line.
I can't remember any of this.
The cool thing is, if you go on Disney Plus, they have a section of you can just watch the Halloween or the Treehouse of Terror episodes.
Maybe I will have to do that.
It's pretty cool.
You really should. They're really fantastic. They still hold up. Like The Fly is a great one that they did, and as well as Bram Stoker's Dracula. Mm-hmm. So many good.
It just they took every horror thing you could possibly have done and they made it into a 5-minute Simpsons comedy version.
So there you go.
Oh, so good. So good. Do you guys have any other Halloween special? Prague, I feel like I know you do.
I mean, I have
Prague's watched every Halloween episode there is multiple times.
Probably have.
Of everything that's ever been made.
I believe it. If you're following Prague at all online right now, all he's doing is posting spoopy stuff, so...
It's my favorite time of year. But yeah, obviously the homage in WandaVision, that was a great one to see them in like the original costumes from the comic book, so I had to bring out those Funko Pops of those guys. But the one that I actually think is one of my favorites kind of more recently, like I was an adult when they came out, at least, was Freaks and Geeks. So those of you who have never watched the show... Please watch. It's only one season. It's one of the greatest seasons of television ever made, period.
It's so true.
Ever.
So true. I back
but
it up.
That episode is hilarious because, and they do this in Stranger Things as well a bit, but they do it through the whole episode with this one where they're in high school and they're nerds and they love comic books and TV shows and movies and stuff. And of course, they dress up for Halloween and nobody else does because they're in high school. Like, why would you do that?
I think the thing that I like about that is they are of that age of you're not quite old
done
enough
with being
to
a kid, right?
Done
right.
with being a kid, but you're also not like a little kid who should be trick or treating anymore.
Exactly.
Like you're in that really weird area.
And we all go through that. Like, we all have that time. We're like, am I too old now to stop trick-or-treating? Or can I
it's
get away with it?
It's always tough that 1 year where you, like, your last year, you don't think this is the last year I'm going trick-or-treating.
Of course not, right?
But by next Halloween, you realize that it's time. It's really interesting.
Yeah.
Oh, and it's
they do
such
it well.
A
they do
bummer,
it so
too.
Well. Yep. Yeah, they do. And then,
do you guys
you have,
remember your... Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt.
No, you're good. Yeah, I was just going to talk more about the episode. We can talk about...
No. Go ahead and finish the episode because then we'll just kind of get into like, do you remember what your last costume was before you turned into
of course.
Adult or big kid?
Yeah. So on the show, you have one of the better characters who dresses up as the Bionic Woman, and he's like the nerdiest looking one of them. Bill is great. But he wanted to be the Bionic Woman because that's one of his favorite characters on the show. So he dresses up in the wig and he's gawky as hell. He's this tall, lanky guy. And now the clothes fit too well and no one knows what he is. So he just looks like an old woman almost, the way he's dressed. But he's like deadpan the whole time. Oh, I'm the Bionic Woman. It's fantastic. And yeah, the Jewish kid is Groucho Marx was fantastic. And then, of course, our main guy is the robot. But yeah, they got trounced upon and... You know, yet of course the freaks come about and they're smashing mailboxes and pumpkins and stuff and causing havoc. I love that. I love that about that show that you had both the freaks and the geeks and you got to see kind of both sides and really how similar those two outsider groups are and how they mesh by the end of the series. And it's fantastic. So check it out. It's a fun episode. It really is. Really fun.
And again,
not only that. Yeah. Yeah.
No. You go ahead.
No, the best part about that episode is the adults in the episode. You have the two adults that wanted to go and do fun stuff with their kids and have them stay home and do kid stuff. And of course, you're just like, we can't do this with our parents. It's very melancholy and sad, but also funny and tragic at the same time. So,
well,
anyways,
what I was going to say is if you've never seen Freaks and Geeks, I feel like we've talked about Freaks and Geeks before on our show.
We have.
But, like, you will notice a lot of stars got their start.
Oh, they all became famous. Oh, yeah.
Just about everybody on this show became famous in some shape or form. It's just the best. And when you, like, who? James Franco. He was one of the freaks.
Seth
you got
Rogen.
Jason Segel. I mean, oh my God, it's just so great to see these, like, see them as kids. Seth Rogen. You're seeing them as kids. It's pretty wild. But
yeah, so fun episode.
Very fun.
Our last Halloween as a kid.
Yes. Before you realized it's time to stop.
Like, I don't know exactly what I wore, like, to the point where I might not even worn a costume. Like, I think I had one year when I was with my cousin, and we knew we were kind of too old probably, but we figured we'd just go out anyways and grab, you know, a pillowcase and put on a scary shirt or something. But I don't think I wore a costume that year. I think we just went out and like kind of like try to fit in with groups of kids and be like with them kind of thing. And we did the Ding Dong Ditch, of course, that year when we got bored, once we got done with all the houses.
Okay.
Go to the rich house. You always go to the rich neighborhood, right? You always go to the rich neighborhood.
You, the internet like paused at the worst time possible where you were like, I don't even think I wore a con. And it sounded like
that was an interesting year. Thankfully, that cousin was just like a friend cousin. She wasn't my biological
kissing
cousin.
Kissing cousins.
So. Yeah, it was fine.
Trick or treat,
yes,
indeed.
I did not wear a condom that year either. So,
Trevor, do you remember your last one?
I think I'm like Prague. I don't fully remember what I wore, but I think I used to always go. My mom would take me trick-or-treating. Just like I would go to the door, she would stand on the sidewalk kind of thing and just go the whole way. And then one year I went with my friends in school, and I think that might have been the last year that I went. And for multiple years I had the mask where it's like a skull and you can press the thing and blood comes down it because it has like a little...
I remember those. Yes.
I had that for like 3 years in a row. So I figure that's my last one where it finally stopped working and I just gave up because it was the same mask because you wear it one day. I can't get that used or that messed up.
That's true.
Wow.
I mean, I wear that mask every day, but yes, I get it. Yeah, it's only usually one
it's
day.
A great thing. Just that the blood... Like, I kind of want to go and buy one right now. It's got to be on the shelf somewhere.
It is. I feel like I just saw it at the mall the other day. Because I remember seeing those all the time, and it was always the Scream mask.
Yeah, the Scream mask
the Scream
version
one.
As well.
Yeah.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. There's quite a few of them, I've seen. So I'm sure you can still find them out there in the wild.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
Or on eBay,
it's funny because recently I do more of just the decorating my own house, and I went to the 99-cent store, and I usually get candy there because I'm cheap like that.
As you should, man. You're giving it away for free.
Yeah, I found a mask that it's at the 99-cent store. It's really not much to it. It is creepy. It's one of the creepiest masks I've ever seen. Kids will come up and just stare transfixed at how creepy it is. They don't know. They can't take their eyes off it because it's so scary. I love that 99-cent store mask.
I found a good one too. I wonder if it's worse than mine. Huh?
Now I gotta see it.
I need to find
it. Not yet.
Well, like for that. Myself, I'll never forget the last like true trick or treating I did. I dressed up as Darth Vader, and my buddy was a Jedi. He was Luke Skywalker, and we walked around the neighborhoods. And I'll never forget there was one house, and it was all these like I want to say college kids.
Oh, no.
And
this is like freezing geeks, okay? Yeah.
Here it comes. Oh yeah, dude. It was like you're just being railed, man. These kids are like, hey, how about you guys do some sword fighting and we'll give you candy? It was like that level of like so we were like, okay, cool, yeah. Well, and so we ended up having a little lightsaber fight in front of these college and then we realized we were being made fun of, but they still gave us candy.
All right. Con what? They give you
con candy.
They still gave us condom.
Candy.
Oh, my internet.
What?
Condom.
That's funny.
Nope.
Beware this year. They might hand out condom. Something.
But did you guys ever have like a favorite house to go to when you trick-or-treated?
Yes. At the end, like, I would go pretty much through my entire neighborhood. It's a small little town, but at the very end, you know, it's like almost 10 o'clock. Most people are like, okay, there's no kids coming anymore. They turn their lights off. The pumpkins are out. They've burnt out already. And it's this big, long driveway. And they had like, king size Snickers, king size Twix, and they're like, wow. You know what? No one's come. No one came at all, and they just like push the bowl into your bag because they don't want it.
Wow.
No one's coming up. So I'd always end that house at the end. There you go.
It's a big, long, scary driveway. They didn't have any lights on at all. I was like, their porch light is on. That's always the indicator. Is the porch light on or not?
Yep. Or if you can see a light on in the house.
Yeah.
If your light is on in the house, you better believe I'm ding dong.
I mean, there was this other old lady where she would make little bags that had like pieces of candy, like pencils and erasers, little like those little tiny toys you get and stuff. She made like a little kit to give out. It was just so sweet and wholesome.
Oh, dude. Is my wife an old lady? She does that. She does it.
That's fun. I like that. Unfortunately, I was, doing my trick-or-treating before the age of king-size candy bars.
Oh.
There were no houses like that.
They gave out like pennies and stuff.
Yeah. That's what they were. Oh, thanks. This is great.
Don't spend it all in one place, kid.
All right. I'll buy myself a newspaper tomorrow. Can't wait.
5 whole cents.
So no, I didn't have a favorite house. The only thing that I remember that stood out ever, like out of any house I went to, was a house where the woman either didn't have candy or ran out. And instead of giving us candy, they gave us pomegranates. Now I had never had a pomegranate till then. I thought that was gonna be so dumb until I got home and they broke it open and I saw all these little tiny seeds, and like that was one of my favorite things I forgot for Halloween. Like I love pomegranates. That's awesome. Now, so.
Oh, dude, my pomegranate tree is exploding right now. They are all ready to be picked. Yeah.
Nice. So now my parents have a pomegranate tree, so it's all worked out.
Oh, that's great. So favorite house for me, living in Florida, growing up in Florida, it's always hot. No matter what, it was hot in October. Yeah. It could be 9 o'clock at night, and it is still hot, and it doesn't matter what costume you're wearing, you are warm as ever. There was always this one house, and I'll never forget it. Gorgeous house. I remember they had an old 50s car in their driveway. Loved this place. Okay. Wraparound porch to the nines. It was almost like they took like an old church and turned it into a house and put like this gorgeous porch and a garage to it. Anyways, they always had a cooler of ice cold Coca-Colas. And as a little kid, being super hot, walking around eating chocolate, like chocolate can get you thirsty. And getting an ice cold Coca-Cola, that was the greatest.
And you remember it.
And I'll never forget it. I know exactly where the house is still to this day.
It's always cool remembering exactly where the houses are.
Yeah.
The cool thing is now that I'm older, like I've gotten to decorate my house, and I'm hoping that kids remember my house, not for the stuff that I gave out, but more because it's scary. Like, I like scaring kids. I don't know. It's hilarious. It cracks me up. And this one time, I'll never forget.
Mm-hmm.
So I have like a nice like walkway, and so there's the sidewalk, and then it's lined with like bushes, so you can't really see in until you get to where the actual gate is, and then you can see all the sounds hear all the sounds and see all the sights. And this one kid's going by, and he looks in, and then he keeps walking, and his dad's like, "Don't you want to go to this house?" And he's like, "Oh no, we can keep going." And he's like, "They have candy," and the kid's like, I'll never forget. He's like, "I have enough candy." And he just kept going. That's my favorite experience
ever. I have enough candy. That was a lie. That was a bold-faced lie from that kid. He was scared.
Dude, that's amazing. Oh, my house will never be that good.
So speaking of scaring kids, one year, and this was when I was an adult, I was at my brother's house. And I had gotten this like it's really kind of creepy alien mask with like a cloak and robe and everything. And I sat on his front porch like I was like a stuffed.
Yes,
dummy.
I love when people.
And I just
do
sat
this.
There, and then the mask covered my whole face, so it didn't even look like I was a human or anything. Like they had no idea. Like I looked like an actual rag doll. And yeah, I scared people, and I did this for like hours. It was like the greatest Halloween of my life.
It's a ton of fun.
I love
that. Oh, good. I mean, kids are screaming, crying, running.
I love that so much because that's something that I always wished that more people did that.
I don't know why more people don't.
Because it makes Halloween so much more fun, having that like scare factor, having
just any kind of memorable stuff. Like up in my town, my parents' town, there's a street that's just known as the Halloween Street. Like people from other cities, it's on the local news. Local news in LA. You know, not just like some literally channel or ABC's local affiliates, like, oh yeah, you can go up to this street and trick or treat, and they have all kinds of cool stuff. And there's all kinds of people drive and park there. There's no parking. The cops have to come and do traffic flow. But that street, new people move in and they do stuff because they have that kind of basic understanding. It's crazy that they keep that tradition alive. But it all started with this one guy. He's known as the Pumpkin King because he does those ornate decorative pumpkins. I don't know if you guys have ever seen that, but it's those ones where you get those big, you know, really big pumpkins. And he does all kinds of ornate, fancy designs in them. And then he'll even have the one where it's one big one with big, sharp teeth, and it has a medium-sized one, and there's a little tiny one.
Oh, cool.
And then, sadly, he passed away, and his son kept it up. But his neighbor now does it these days, and he makes, like, pumpkin chariots. He makes a caterpillar out of pumpkins. He does all kinds of just pumpkin decor in his yard, and it's the whole street now is just, there's different haunted houses, and everyone just does it every Halloween. You know that you can go on the street and there's going to be all kinds, like, you're not going to get any good candy, but you'll remember the stuff that you saw.
That's really interesting. Cool.
Like, we didn't have anything like that up here, but up here we have the Christmas version of that. There's a cul-de-sac that's famous. The news goes like that.
That's what's so interesting. Like, a Halloween street's so different. Like,
that is.
I love Christmas cul-de-sacs, but it's just Halloween. I don't see it that often.
No, you don't. And it's great that the other people that move into that neighborhood understand that tradition and, you know, carry it on. So
when I was a little kid, we used to have a church just a few doors down from us. And it was the church that we would attend when I attended church back when I was 10. But every year, this was great. The pastor was all about Halloween. He loved it. So we used to, or at least all of the adults in the neighborhood would all come to the church, and they would have a big meeting, and they would set up a giant haunted house through the main like worship hall or anything like that, but like where you get your cookies like afterwards. Sure. And when you do like the community meetings and stuff like that,
like the rectory area probably,
right? So what they would do is they took that whole area and they turned it into a giant like either maze or just a big haunted house. And they would have like outside of there, they would have games, they would have like Dunk the Clown, and they would hire people to dress up like a clown and you could dunk them. It was great. But there was some pretty scary stuff that they did in there. And I'm like, for a church, actually the next pastor that came in, he completely put the kibosh to it all. He was like, yeah, this is not happening. A lot of the people in the neighborhood were like, this is tradition, man. We've been doing this for about 10 years now, and you're going to take this away from us. But yeah, he ended up stopping it right away. But I'll never forget. They actually did like a tunnel system, like cardboard boxes that you had to crawl through.
And they had these haunted houses like that. Yeah.
Yeah. And they had like strings, and they would have like someone sitting in the boxes and like scaring you inside the boxes.
Yeah,
man. And then very end, they made a big pirate ship where you had to walk the plank and jump into, not water, but it looked like water, but it was all filled with like floaties and stuff like that, so it was a soft landing. But these are the things.
Not like a
tuxedo. Again, say what? Not like a what?
Oh, no, at TwitchCon, there's no soft landings.
Yeah, I was going to say the TwitchCon thing, too.
What happened at TwitchCon?
Someone broke their back.
Yeah. They had one of those foam pits. It was a very scary experience, yes.
Oh, my goodness.
I know. Not good. But anyway, I'm glad you were safe, Alex.
Yes. Well, I was too scared to go through. I was a little kid. I was too scared to go through the tunnels. I remember walking around the tunnels and trying to get away from the tunnels because they were scary. I was a pussycat when I was a kid, man.
You still are. It's okay.
That's we go to haunted houses together now. We go to Halloween Horror Nights together, and this guy loves being behind me because he loves watching me scream. Oh, you jerk.
That's fantastic.
It makes it more fun, as long as you're having fun.
Of course. Now, did you guys have a favorite costume that you wore as a kid?
What's funny about costumes is I'm realizing that now I go to Comic-Con and I'm cosplaying and I'm going to Disneyland and Disney Bounty. And I have some really good costumes lately, but as a kid, I think I played soccer, and one of my favorites is you just put on your soccer outfit and then you get some paint, you know, some white paint, some blood paint, and now you're a zombie soccer player.
Yeah.
Super low effort, low key.
Okay. All right.
What about you, Alex? Frog?
You go first. I'm like, I was the opposite of Loki. My mother was a seamstress who liked to make costumes, so it was always a lot of creative things. Not necessarily my favorite, but probably the most unique was I wanted to go as a spider web one year. So my mom literally made a head to toe spider web of like cotton balls are stretched out with like, you know, spiders on me, and I would open my arms out like a giant spider web. That was kind of fun. One year I wanted to go as Freddy Krueger because it was like the most popular movie. Every kid wanted to be Freddy. It was a cool costume, but of course my parents were like, you can't be Freddy Krueger. That movie's rated R. It's horror. No, you can't do that. It's like, all right, I'll be the devil. So I went as Satan, and I had full.
Oh my God. That's more low key.
Oh my God.
Freddy Krueger. I know. I'm like, fine. I'll just be Satan. I don't care. Jeez. That was great. And I went to the Catholic school, and that was fantastic.
That's ridiculous.
What's more evil than him? All right. Guy himself. So, why not? So that was my favorite, I think.
As a little kid, I probably was Michelangelo from the Ninja Turtles about, I feel like almost every year until I was, I don't know, 10.
Every year except for 2022.
Oh, wow. Never going to hear the end of that one. Yeah, I was Michelangelo for years. I remember being the Jim Carrey, the mask.
Nice.
Where I had the actual, like, the mask on, and I had this.
I can see you do that as a kid.
Goofy suit. Sure. Oh, my goodness, dude. Mm-hmm. But those are probably the two that I can remember the most.
I don't remember being a Ninja Turtle, though. But I was a ninja, but not a Ninja Turtle one year.
Weird.
I was the White Power Ranger one year.
No way, really?
Yeah. Oh, that's cool. I have a picture of that because I went to school in that outfit and I have a presentation. Like, I'm literally presenting at the front of the class with the White Power Ranger outfit.
Whoa! Okay, maybe that's something that we got to do. We all got to post our costumes as kids.
If I can find them.
Find that picture, yeah. I don't know if my parents...
I know my parents have pictures of our costumes, my costumes, and my sister's. But I remember being like Ryu from Street Fighter one year.
Nice.
Oh, man. Yeah. Funny stuff.
Are you guys going to dress up this year?
Maybe. I did buy a mask because I went to Spirit Halloween. I bought an outfit that didn't fit, so I had to return it. But I had to find a mask that I thought was like the creepiest mask I've ever seen. And I'm like, I don't know what I'm going to do with this mask, but I'm going to wear it. So I don't know what this thing is, but I guess I'm going to be that. We'll see.
I think I might get in my hallway
and scare people.
There you go, dude. I would love. That's awesome. Set up a GoPro or something. I'm going to be Mickey Mouse, and my daughter's going to be Minnie Mouse, and my wife is going to be Daisy Duck.
That's cute.
Yeah. We've been doing every year, ever since she was born, we've been doing family things. Yeah. So last year we were a circus family where I was the strong man and the baby was a lion and my wife was a ringmaster. And the year before that, my wife was Cruella de Vil. I was her henchman and the baby was a little Dalmatian. So we've been doing family things every year now.
She goes three blind mice one year. That'd be kind of fun.
That would be fun. But then I got to get my daughter to hold a stick all night.
The three amigos.
This year, I mean, I kind of am doing it based on work, but I'm kind of doing it based on the gift I got. I'm going to go with Ted Lasso.
Nice.
Why not? Right.
It's pretty easy. I got the visor. Off, yeah. I got the scarf.
There you go.
Yeah. Because there's the two Ted Lassos. There's the in-office where he kind of wears like the rolled-up sleeves and the V-neck type of outfit and slacks. And then there's the he's on the field coach. So my coworker is going to go as the office version, and I'm going to go as the on-the-field version where he has the aviators and everything.
And then on the back of your shirt. On the back of your shirt, make sure to watch on Apple Plus.
I miss being in the office. My company is known for having each department kind of go all out, and that's what I usually base my costume on.
And I remember those. Years. Yeah.
And it was like, if you ever go on my Instagram, you can see that the video walkthroughs I've done of some of them. They're just absolutely amazing.
Oh,
I miss that.
Yes. I'm right there with you. Having like an office to like go into and socialize with other people and see their costumes. I'll never forget this, actually. I used to, back in the day, I used to really enjoy sports radio, and I used to listen to Jim Rome. And I'll never forget that one year on Halloween, I was dressed up as a zombie at the office, and Jim Rome gets on and starts blasting people who dress up and go to work. And I said, I'm never listening to this a-hole.
There you go, turn
this guy's such a prick. He was such a... And he wouldn't let up. I'm like, dude, this is sports radio, and all you're doing is talking about people wearing costumes at work. Like, it was such like a massive turnoff from listening to this guy that I was like, I'm done. I'm never.
Wear your costumes to work, people. If you still
he hasn't been relevant in so long. But no, when you talk about dressing up, there's Frank Caliendo who impersonates him. He literally dresses as Rome and just going phenomenal. Tremendous. Turning every four syllable word into that specific thing. I'll never forget that.
Frank Caliendo, man, he hasn't come out with much in a while
he
either.
He fell off the earth too. And then one shout out before we end, I do want to say there's someone sometime where I ran out of candy one year, and when you don't have any candy in the house, you want to still give something out because you mentioned you got something else instead. And so it reminded me, I went through the house and what I had was, you know, like Taco Bell, they give you all those hot sauces.
Oh,
and
no.
Like Wendy's, they give out like croutons and stuff. And so I gave Wendy's croutons and the girl's like, woo, croutons. I don't know where she is or who she is, but shout out to her for that fake celebration.
Woo, croutons. So, toasted bread, my favorite.
Oh,
but yeah, just all that stuff, like the little creams from McDonald's, just every kind of thing.
Oh my god, it's so good.
That's like those buckets where it says, "Please take one."
Oh,
I did that one year where it was just Taco Bell sauce and McDonald's creamers. And Michelle's like, "How did your house not get egged or TP'd?"
I think people really do genuinely like those items, though. Like, I would be one of mine some Taco Bell sauce.
The Taco Bell sauce I'm all about. But the creamer.
Creamer's a little
the
weird.
Wendy's croutons, man. Wendy's has good croutons.
See? Well, there you go.
That's a whole nother. This is a whole nother podcast, fellas.
It is.
Go well, I hope everybody stays safe this Halloween. That's for sure.
And to everyone listening, tell us about your favorite Halloween memories. A costume that you had. Do you have photos of those? Some great memorable
photos.
House that you went to got good treats. Who knows? Let us know. Follow us at Secondary Heroes everywhere. Reach out to us however you will on any form of social media, except for TikTok. Don't use that. I don't care how popular it is. No. To everyone listening, we hope you enjoyed. Happy Halloween, and we'll talk to you next time.
Frog out.
Adios, y'all.